First Corinthians. We'll look here at a verse of Scripture here this morning. That's on my heart for today. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And you'll look here at verse number 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. I ask you again that anyone who wants to help somebody help us out with camp, I'd appreciate it. If the Lord's speaking to your heart, you can. It's hard for people who's got two or three kids and works every day to that many of them, it takes a lot of money. So if you can do it, I'd appreciate it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. Now look at this. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I want to preach this morning on the subject, what sin does to a Christian. What sin will do to a Christian. We all talk all the time about sin sends people to hell, and sin will wind up paying and sin in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But sin also has an effect on a Christian. Even though you are saved and going to heaven, sin does and will affect you. When you're saved, you are in God's family. Understand this. You do not belong to the devil anymore. You are bought and paid for. Your name is in the book of life in God's heaven. The second you're saved, you become one of God's children. Now think about that. You may take that lightly, but God does not take it lightly. Everywhere you go, you take Him with you. Everything you do, He's right there beside you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You drag Him in the mud, He'll be right there beside you. And sin has consequences. People don't understand, who don't understand human behavior, because they don't believe in sin. You hear this on the news all the time. We've heard it a lot this week about why people do things they do. They'll put serial killers on the news, and they'll say, well, psychologists have analyzed this man, and they say it might have been something. He was raised a certain way, or he grew up and he was warped when he was a child, or he's inherited something in his DNA, or something ain't right. No, that's not true. They don't realize, they don't believe in sin. They don't believe in sin. That there is sin, that there's evil and good in the world. And that we have a fallen nature. And that we are depraved by nature. And we are naturally prone toward sin. So I want to talk about that this morning. And I want to give you some things, try to warn you as a Christian, that the least you sin, the better off you'll be. And the more you'll sin, the worse your life is going to be. Period. That's all there are to it. Sin will never make you happier. Sin will never make you better. Sin will never make you a better person. Sin will never help in your life in any way, shape, or form. Sin is always brings negative results in your life. So I want to talk about that this morning. The first thing I want to say is, first thing I want to say is, sin breaks our fellowship with God. Sin breaks our fellowship with God. Broken fellowship. The Bible said if we confess our sins, and the Bible said if we walk in the light, He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. I'm not talking about relationship. Relationship can never be broken. My kids and me are related forever, no matter what. But they're not always in fellowship. They're not always in fellowship. Somebody said, what's the definition of fellowship? It's two fellows in the same ship. And you know what? They're both going the same way, headed toward the same destination. We're going along. That's what fellowship is. And we fellowship with the Lord. I remember when I first got saved, preacher said, all right, everybody, fellowship. I thought, what's that? That's a religious sounding term. I didn't know what he meant. He made fellowship. And I know now it means, hey, how are you? Good to see you. We're all going to sing. We're shaking hands. We're together. We're in this thing together. That's what fellowship is. You know, fellowship is sweet. If you've ever fellowshiped with the Lord, I don't know if some of you folks have ever even even know what I'm talking about. I hope you do. I think some of you ain't stayed right with God long enough to know what fellowship is. But fellowship is when you're trying your best to live right, and you go to work and you pray and you witness, you try and you confess, keep your sins confessed up. It's like that little song says, "He walks with me and he talks with me." That's what fellowship is. But now when we allow sin in our life, deliberate sin, and continuing it, fellowship is broke. Now, I know that we're not perfect. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when we deliberately allow sin in our heart, it breaks fellowship with God. I don't care what nobody tells you. People say, well, we're saved by grace and it don't matter. Yeah, it does matter. It does matter. It sure does matter. I tell you one thing, brother. People think it don't matter. It matters to me. But when I do something wrong, I can tell it in a second. There's a block in between me and the Lord. I feel bad. I don't run up and say, Lord, thank you for all I can think about is what I've done wrong. What I've done wrong. It breaks our fellowship with God. And you are kidding yourself this morning if you think you're living in sin and fellowship with Him in the same time. It's impossible. It cannot be done. It breaks fellowship. My old preacher said, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Nothing as peaceful as a fellowship with the Lord. The minute you deliberately sin, it's affected. And then if you remain in that sin, that fellowship is broken. You can see it on the face of teenagers. I've seen teenagers come back from camp, and I mean just as bright as that light right there. They glow with the presence of God. I mean, they just sit there and just like this, just eat it up, just eat it up. And after a few weeks or months, I see them come and that glow is tarnished. And they sort of look like this the whole service. They sort of look down but look up at you like that. And they have no smile. And they have no joy. And they have no strength. And it's because sin has broke that fellowship with God. You know how it is when you really get right with God? You're happy. You're happy about everything. And I'll say more about that in a second. But broken fellowship is awful. Broken fellowship is awful. Now, I want to tell you this morning, there is no sin worth forfeiting your fellowship with God. There is no sin worth your fellowship with God. I mean, if you offered me, say, give me $100 for your fellowship with God, Brother Danny, I'd say no, because I've had $100 and I've had fellowship. But I tell you, the fellowship is better. You're miserable as a Christian when you're not in fellowship with the Lord. So sin breaks our fellowship. Number two, sin makes us lose our joy. The Bible said in Psalm 51 and verse 2, when old David was in sin over there, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." If you're really saved here this morning, you have joy when you're doing right. Joy in church. Joy in your testimony. Joy in witnessing. Joy, just the joy of the Lord. Have you ever had the joy of the Lord? I'm telling you, you've heard me tell it many times. One of the first times I ever remember the joy of the Lord, I was 18, been saved about 2 months. I was driving down Highway 70 from Nebo coming this way. I think I was going to work. I'd worked over here at this Highlander plant down here, right off Jamestown there, on 70. I don't know what it is now. But I was coming down that road. I had a little old MG, and that thing, a little convertible MG car that I drove, and I wanted one of them things so bad, I saved my money and got me one, and I was driving that thing. And I remember coming down through there. My hair was still pretty long. I had on some old football jersey and something. I don't know what all I had on. But I still had my music in the CD, in the tape player. And I remember I was saved, but I didn't know nothing, hardly nothing. And I remember going down the road. And I'll never forget, just as plain as day, something started bubbling up inside of me. And I got the eyes flying around them curves. And I don't know if this happens to you, but have you ever noticed the more in the spirit you get, the faster you drive? I don't know what makes you do that. You say, Brother, I'm telling you, every time I've really gotten the Holy Ghost, you just keep getting faster and faster and faster. And one excuse goes another. But I remember I kept going faster and faster, and I kept going around them curves, going, and I started thinking, I thought, Lord, I'm saved. I'm saved now. I know the Lord that Mom talked about all my life. I know who she was singing about. I know Him. I know Him in best of all, He knows me. And I remember thinking about that, and it started going, and I thought, whoa! And you know what that is? That's rivers of everlasting life springing up inside you. And it started bubbling up, and I said, glory to God! I thought, and I started crying. Big tears started coming. But I was laughing and crying at the same time. And I was going in there thinking, oh boy, this is all, I liked it. It was the joy of the Lord bubbling up in my soul. I remember saying, it's bubbling, it's bubbling. Let me tell you something, brother. There is no joy in this world like what He gives when everything's right and your heart's right and you're saved and on your way to heaven. There ain't nothing like the joy of the Lord. I'm telling you what, boy. And you know what? It wasn't long till I'd done something wrong. It went, pop! Like I had a flat tire. Just went, psh! I said, where'd it go? I was praying for every church I passed. Lord bless them. Lord, it might have been Jehovah's Witnesses. More, I didn't know the difference. Back in the good old days. Before your mind gets all messed up with all this church stuff. I mean, I wanted the Lord to bless everybody. I said, glory to God, hallelujah, woo! I mean, I had the best time ever was. And when I do something wrong, it's just like popping a balloon. And then one day it dawned on me. I said, this is crazy. When I'm right, I'm happy. But I think if I do something wrong, that'll make me happy. But when I do it, it makes you miserable. And that's the way a saved person is. Let me tell you something. If you're really saved, I mean really good, old-fashioned, Holy Ghost, blood bought, sins washed away in the family of God, and you do something wrong, there's something in here goes crazy in you till you get right with God. I don't understand. I don't understand how people can just live backslid all. I mean, they not only live it, they put their picture on Facebook doing it. That's what I've heard. I ain't got it. Don't even know how to get on it. But I want to tell you something, brother. Listen. They say it's like this. He who sins is just a sinner. He who tolerates sin. He who don't sin is a saint. He who brags about sin is a devil. Listen, I've sinned since I've been saved, and you have too. But when a person brags about it, there's something wrong with them. You ought to be ashamed of it. You ought to be ashamed when you sin. Sin, brother, will cause you to lose your joy. That's right. Every time you just like me, you make one of these pie crust promises. A pie crust promise is like a pie crust promise. Pie crust promise. And it goes like this. It goes, easy made, easy broke. Easy broken. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, brother. Sin will rob you of your joy. But let me say thirdly this morning. Are you listening? You know what sin will do to a Christian? I'm talking to Christian people this morning. Sin brings the chastening hand of God. Sin will get you whipped. It'll get you a whipping, brother. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 said, the Lord chasteneth every son whom He receiveth. I have some preacher friends of mine who disagree with this. They're always going around preaching, God ain't mad at you, God ain't mad at you. That ain't the issue. The issue is, what does the Bible say? And the Bible does say God chastens those that are His own. He done Israel as a nation back in the Old Testament. He done it to individuals in the New Testament. He's done it to me, and He'll do it to you. If you go on in sin, now the Lord's merciful. He's a good parent. But if you go on and on and on and on and persist, and you don't repent, then the Lord will whip you. You will get a whipping. And when He takes you to the woodshed, you won't have to ask, did God whip me? Listen, brother, if your kid asked, did I get a whipping, he didn't get one. They get one, they'll remember it. That's right, brother. You don't have to ask, did the Lord get me? God, as a Father, will and does correct us when we sin. You read 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles. Now, I know a lot of you people in here don't have a spiritual bone in your body sometime when it comes to the Bible, but you ought to go back and read. You men, go back and read 2 Chronicles and 1 Chronicles. And don't let the devil tell you that all it's got in it is names. There's lessons of life in 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles. You think God's dumb? He ain't going to give us a book that's going to get us through life and put stuff in there that's just for no reason.
It says this. It says this over and over and over. They did this and they went a whoring after other gods, and the Lord raised up an adversary. And the Lord raised up Pilser, king of who knows where. And he come over and smote many of them every single time. God used people to whip His people. You know, sometimes people are God's belt. God will use a person to whip you. God will use a circumstance to whip you. God will use all kind of stuff to whip you. Now, I know a preacher on radio comes on near my time, and they're always saying, no, God don't come. Now, I'm telling you, the Bible says that He does. Old Testament, New Testament, God is merciful, God is good, but He wouldn't be a good Father if He just let us do anything and get away with it. So the Lord does bring chastening our way. It said this, and the Lord blessed so-and-so, and the Lord blessed them when they served the Lord with all their heart. But then they turned aside and didn't worship the god Ashtaroth. Or they built the high places. They refused to take the high places. And they had groves. You study that in the Bible. Them groves. They had trees and everything and put statues in them. And they worshiped other gods. And the Bible, every time, the Bible said, and the Lord let so-and-so, king of so-and-so, come over and fight with Israel. They had a fight when they wouldn't live right. They had a fight when they wouldn't live right. I'm going to tell you this morning, the reason so many of you people, your life is a continual mess, and the reason you're always miserable, and the reason you're always in one mess right after another, and nothing ever goes right, and nothing ever smooth, is because you will not get right with God like you know you need to be right with God. I remember when some of you people used to smile. I remember when some of you used to be happy when somebody got saved. I remember I didn't even have to beg you to come back Sunday night. I remember that. I remember when some of you loved to go to church. And you will. I'm going to tell you something. Nothing's going to be right in your life. I don't care if you've got $10 million. I don't care if you get a new car, a new house. It'll never be right till you get your heart right with God. Amen. Like a lot of sickness comes because of sin. A lot of trouble comes because of sin. Amen? I'm not saying every time. I'm not saying that. Some of the greatest Christians ever got sick. Some of them, Fanny Crosby was blind. I'm not saying that. I'm saying sometimes sickness comes because of sin. And if there's a preacher on the radio who hears me say this, and they will, and they'll say, you're crazy, I challenge you, read your Bible. It does. I challenge you. People who say that watch TV preachers all day long and don't study that book. Sometimes it's a result of sin. Not always, but sometimes. Sometimes physical problems come because of our spiritual issue. Sometimes family problems come because of our sin and we won't get right with God. God uses us to chasten us. You say, well, you're scaring me. Brother, we ought to be scared. Amen. Sin against God. Amen? Listen, I sentenced your arm and hand to 6 months in jail. If you care to go with it, you can. Now, that's where a lot of people are saying, well, I can't. The police come over there to investigate, and when the police come over there, it was a bad snowy day, and them guys had backed up in there like that and left them. They got away with it, but they forgot that negative was in that camera. And it's always like that. Next time you have to go, doctor, you think about that. That's why I always tell my girls, are you living right? I'm not saying every time, I'm not. Please don't think every time you get something sick, you're sinning. I'm not saying that. But that's the first thing I'd ask myself. That's the first thing I'd ask myself. Like that boy said, this guy from one time had a little conversation. You know how I preach about fasting and the little conversation in the middle of me and working down there? Well, old Gastricus was in charge of all that down there. Gastricus' job is to make sure all that food that gets in them gastrical juices and gets digested. Well, old Gastricus was on the job one day, and about that time a big load of hamburgermas came down. He called all his men together and said, you get hamburgermas and take him over there and tie him up in the corner, hamburgermas and French fragamas. And about that time, ice creamamas came down on top of them. It was everywhere. They said, get him, boys! And they went on gathering up ice creamamas. And they locked him up, put chains over here, locked him in this corner, hamburgermas, French fragamas, ice creamamas, and they were all over the place. And holy mercy, where am I? And about that time, Beeramus came down on top of that. That evening, about 2 hours later, here come Beeramus. Oh, they said, get him! Get him! Get him! Get him out of here! Cacamus right on top of him. Here come all that Cacamus and Biramus, and they got down there, and they got all that. And about that time, they all got together and said, "All right, let's go." And Biramus got Cacamus, and Cacamus said, "Go over there and untie Ascremus." And untie Ascremus went over there and turned loose Hot Dogamus. And Hot Dogamus went over there and turned loose Hamburgamus. And about that time, they all got together and said, "All right, boys, we're busting out of here. Let's go upstairs." That's what happened. That's what it does when you sin. That's what it does when you sin. That's right. That's what it does when you sin. Sin brings the chastening hand of God. Number four. Sin takes away many precious things. Sin takes away many precious things. I like that song that, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear." You think of all the good things that maybe we might would have had if we hadn't been so stupid sinning against God. I have people all the time say, "Brother Danny, that was the dumbest thing I ever done in my life." And you know what makes us so dumb is we know it's dumb and then go right back and keep doing the same thing over and over and over. How dumb can we get? If you'd have worked a job every day and paid your bills and went to church every Sunday, well, there's some of you be on your way to being rich right now if you just do right. Think of the mess you're in right now because of sin. And I'm not saying all of it is. I'm not saying that. Job lost everything he had. And he wasn't sinning. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you, sin takes away precious things. David in 2 Samuel, what the Bible said, David sinned against God, stole a man's wife, had the man murdered, he busted up that whole thing up, and the Bible says that God told David, "The child that is born is going to die." David lost that boy's life and paid for it. That's how serious God takes sin. You say, "Brother Danny, I just don't believe God. He did it." He did it. You say, "God's merciful." He sure is. Or He'd have done the same thing to me and you. But I'm saying you keep pushing Him and pushing Him, but you're going to lose a lot of good things. Think of the parents. Think of all the parents right now that's not getting to see their kids grow up. Just see them ever so often because of sin. Think of the kids right now that never get to see their daddy. He's in prison. Because of sin. Sin, we lose a lot of precious things. There ain't nothing in the world like a family sitting around the house of the evening. There's mama, there's daddy, there's the kids, laughing, cutting up, praying, go to church. You're rich if you have that. Think of the people that don't have that this morning. They don't. Listen, there's girls in that shelter up there in Marion and down here over in Lenore and places in the shelter this morning. Got a couple of little old kids and they'll look at you and they'll say, "Brother Danny, I was stupid. All I wanted to do was party. And now I'm paying for it." Paying for it. Sin takes away precious things. Think about all the girls right now that are crying. Wondering where that boyfriend is that they thought loved them so much. Think of all the kids right now who don't know where their parents are, wishing mama would come home, have no idea where she is. Wondering, think of all the mothers right now that can't find their boy. Their heart's breaking. Sin causes us to lose many precious things. Think of the husbands right now trying to check their wife's phone all the time to see if she's been calling or texting or some. Think of all the miserable things that sin causes us. All that junk is because of sin. Think of all the people. Think of the money. I was talking to somebody yesterday. He was telling me about some family member. They said this person is making good money, but he can't have nothing. And it's another state. I said, "Brother Danny, he's about to lose his house. He's about to lose his car. They're going to repossess it." I said, "Well, what's wrong? And he works." She said, "He works every day. He's making good money." I said, "Is he back on them pills?" She said, "I think he is. That's where all his money's going."
And the reason he can't keep his car in his house is because of them pills. You think of the things you're losing because of your sin. Say one more thing, and I'm through this morning. Are you listening, Christian? The Bible teaches that sin in a Christian's life can bring premature death. Not just sickness, not just suffering, not just family troubles, not just financial trouble. You can persist and persist according to the Bible. You say, Brother Danny, that's Old Testament stuff. God don't do that. 1 Corinthians 5 ain't the Old Testament. Acts chapter 5 ain't the Old Testament. In the book of Acts chapter 5, everybody listening? There's a man by the name of Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament church who came in one day and made a big fake act and said, we sold our land for so much, and they both lied about it and gave the church part of the money, and God killed them both. First time in the Bible anybody got killed in the New Testament was for not being honest with their money and the church. If I was sitting here this morning and I hadn't got my tithes in, I would catch up today. I'd write a check. I'd let something go. Listen, the first time God killed somebody in the New Testament, when they wasn't being honest about their finances and the church, they were cheating the church. And they didn't even have to give that. They didn't want to. It was a hypocrite. I don't know who I'm preaching here to this morning, but the Bible teaches sin can bring premature death. In 1 John chapter 5, it said there is a sin unto death. I do not say that it'll pray for it. You say, what is that sin? Any sin you continue and continue and continue and continue and refuse to repent of unto death. It's the most serious. You're turned over to Satan. That's what the book says. For the destruction of the flesh. There's a man living in fornication with his mother-in-law in 1 Corinthians 5 and would not try to get right, just openly bragging about it, shacking up. And the Bible said they turned that man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. I'm preaching to you. Premature death. God signs your death warrant. Premature grave. You kill it or it'll kill you. The day of sin is in your life, it's like weeds coming up. You kill it or it'll kill you. And you know what's wrong with these folks? You don't want to fight. You know the Bible says we're soldiers. We're supposed to fight. Every day I got to fight with sin. And you do too. And if you don't know what that means, I don't know what kind of Christian life you're trying to live. We fight again. Some of you people say, well, I don't have no temptation. I guess it's probably your self-righteousness that fights you, and you don't even realize it. That's probably your sin. I mean, you judge these people maybe have sins of the flesh or weakness of life, and you just think you're better than everybody and never did nothing wrong. You're probably in worse shape because you don't even realize your sin. You got to realize your sin and fight that thing. Fight it and fight it and fight it. You know what Paul said? I die daily. Do you even know what that means? Some of you people, you just live life and go through life and then show up at church on Sunday morning and say, do you even know what he's talking about? Die daily? That means every day your flesh wants to go one way and your spirit trying to pull the other way, and it's a fight. And you get tired of fighting. I don't want to fight all the time. But you got to. You got to. Brother, we're soldiers. We're in a battle. It's just like football. It's just like boxing. If I just stand there, the guy's going to knock my head off. I've got to fight back. I've got to fight back. I don't always win, but bless the Lord, I'm going to fight. You kill it, it'll kill you. You ever noticed how easy it is to hate other people's sins? If you hated your sin as bad as you hate Casey Anthony, you could live right. Your problem is you hate everybody else's sin, but don't hate your sin. The woman said, I drove all the way up here from Miami. I thought, you big whatever you are. I started to say heifer, but I ain't going to. I thought, I bet you're full of the devil yourself.
drove all the way from Miami. That sorry, good for nothing, low down Casey Anthony. Well, won't you say that sorry, good for nothing, low down old Danny here, or your name? Yeah. Hate your sin. Hate your sin. Hate your sin. What about your sin? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Casey Anthony, what's her own master, she stands or falls. Brother, God's going to judge you. He said, well, I'll tell you one thing. I'd never do what my neighbor does or my brother does or my sister. You better watch out and judge your sin. Or judge your sin. It's easy to hate other people's sin. You ever notice in the Bible when they go in one of them countries and God says, thou shalt utterly destroy the Amalekites and the Hittites and all that's pictures of sin in our, and stuff, strongholds in our life. And the Lord put that in there because, man, they had to fight. Israel didn't just come out of Egypt and just say, oh boy, life is great, God's good, woo, cut the watermelon. You know, I mean, it's 4th of July. They had a fight, brother. They had to fight every step of the way. And He said, if you don't kill them, they'll kill you. And that's what war is all about. I don't like war. I don't believe in war. I hate there's war in the world. But you know why we go to war with other countries? Because if you don't kill them, they'll kill you. And that's the way sin is. You don't kill it, it'll get you. If you don't get it, it'll get you and your family. That's what sin will do to a Christian. Have you ever seen Stone Mountain, Georgia, down near Atlanta? If you've ever flew into Atlanta, Stone Mountain, they say, is the largest boulder, like a big round rock, in the world. And I'm telling you, you're flying into Atlanta, and everything's flat down there, and you see this big round thing just sticking straight up. I don't know how far it is. I don't know how in the world that thing got there, popped up from the flood, or God washed it down there from up here somewhere. I don't know. But it's a whopper, I ain't kidding you. And you can go out on it. It's like a tourist attraction. And it's round. And they said a young man was out there one day. Somehow I know he got over the fence something, and he kept looking like this. And when I'm walking here, I know there's the edge and I can sort of control myself. But if something's round, you don't realize you can't go as far as you can like on something flat like this. He said he just eased out there a little bit more and eased out there a little bit more. And suddenly his balance overtook him and he couldn't go back. And the crowd stood there horrified as he fell. He screamed, fell to his death. And that's the way sin will do a Christian. You know what sin will do to a Christian? You go a little ways and you don't realize, you think, I'm not going to go that far. I'll stop, and then you're gone. You're gone. I know personally, two men who've been killed in car wrecks, young men that would not get right with God. I know another young man who was on fire for God when he was young, like some of you guys. And he got backslid and got with a bunch of drinking crowd and a rock band, got killed in a car wreck. I know another man, two friends of mine. Another one got hit by a car and killed, drunk. I know another friend of mine that I used to help all the time. Boy, about 40 years old. Kept messing with drugs, messing with drugs, messing with drugs. Killed him. He is saved as you are. Saved as I am. He said his sin will bring premature death. It will. It will. And if some of you don't get a grip, ain't nobody in here can handle it. Don't never think, ah, I'm a strong Christian. Lord, that's famous last words. You ain't stronger than the devil, and you ain't stronger than the world. I ain't, and you ain't either. You know, there's a Greek word called, here there's consequences for sin. Mamas and daddies need to understand, nobody's moving now. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to try to fight it. Come on, that's right, that's right. Don't be embarrassed, my goodness, ever. Amen.